Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Washington Gun Law TV. I am Washington Gun Law President William Kirk. Thanks for joining us. Gonna be honest here. We're gonna step out on a ledge, take a little risk here, because we're gonna do a video that's probably ultimately gonna be very critical of the American Bar Association. Now, I was always of the opinion that the Bar Association, the ABA, was there to, you know, help regulate law schools and bar exams and to provide guidelines for rules of ethics to help ensure protection of not only our industry, but the consumers who also participate in our industry. But apparently, they have become gun violence experts as well and have now passed a resolution that basically, if followed, well, it would crush the entire firearms industry. We're going to explain exactly what they said, and then I'm going to tell you the ugly truth about why they said it. So today, let's spend a few minutes and let's talk about, why does the Bar Association want to disarm America? Okay, America, so because I geek out on all things 2A related, I go to this website to kind of review new petitions before the United States Supreme Court, and they have other articles there. And lo and behold, I see this article about a resolution that was passed by the American Bar Association. It's actually Resolution 604. We're going to link it up down below so that you won't have to take our word for it. This is a resolution in which the ABA, in their infinite wisdom, believes that the best thing to do is to repeal the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, the PLCAA, and to allow states to continue to pass more and more laws designed to effectively sue gun manufacturers, wholesalers, and retailers. Now, in case anyone out here is thinking, well, is he reading between the lines? Is he kind of trying to clickbait us with some of this stuff? Let me just give you some of the opening salvo from the American Bar Association's resolution number 604. Resolved that the American Bar Association urges Congress to repeal the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, which conveys special legal immunity to the firearms industry, and further resolved that the American Bar Association urges states to enact laws that, one, set standards of responsible conduct for holders of federal firearms licenses, FFLs, and other gun companies, and two, provide pass for civil litigation for knowing failures to comply with such laws. Now, in a resolution that is full of opinion, speculation, and conjecture, and not often has legal citations or any citations to it for that matter, one of the chief complaints was the ruling in Smith & Wesson v. Mexico, a 9-0 decision for those of you who forgot, but as the ABA reflects upon it, they refer to it this way. This decision, while devastating to the survivors of gun violence in Mexico, fell far short of what the defendants sought. The defendants had asked the court to hold that the criminal involvement of the cartels necessarily severed any liability for gun manufacturers. The court declined that invitation, applying PLCAA without extending it. The result is that plaintiffs pursuing cases against gun industry defendants stand at the bottom of a steep hill, where legal barriers from PLCAA are only one of many obstacles that deny justice to gun violence survivors and insulate wrongdoers in the gun industry from accountability for their misconduct. And you're going to see this over and over and over, accountability for their misconduct. But what the ABA believes the misconduct is lawfully selling a lawfully regulated item to a person who has cleared a background check. But in addition to getting rid of any type of protection of the firearms industry, what the ABA is also advocating for is to allow states to continue to create more and more laws to sue the living hell out of the gun industry. For example, they state in their resolution, these statutes point to a path forward, one that is fully consistent with PLCAA, that will break down the barriers to accountability and providing survivors a path to justice. Because the path to justice apparently means holding somebody beyond the crazy trigger man responsible for their actions. ABA also states, the resolution urges Congress to repeal PLCAA. The resolution also urges states to adopt legislation that provides clear standards for members of the gun industry and establishes paths for civil litigation against companies that violate those standards, such as what Connecticut has done. So no, it is not conjecture. It is not hyperbole. It is not oversummarization of what's going on here. This is actually what the ABA, the American Bar Association, is proposing. Now, in furtherance of their argument, they make all sorts of bold claims, of course, citing to not even anecdotal evidence. But some of these bold claims that they make include: these irresponsible companies have insufficient controls and protections to prevent unlawful sales, and in some cases, they knowingly break the law. The result is a perverse incentive where the least responsible gun companies gain a competitive advantage over their more responsible competitors. Our civil legal system is designed to provide a measure of justice to those harmed, to validate their grievances against those responsible, and to compensate them in some way to mitigate that harm. But in gun cases, numerous barriers prevent survivors from obtaining that justice. But what exactly is that justice? I mean, if we have a drunk driver go out and slaughter a family on the roadway, does that mean that we get to sue Jack Daniels or Anheuser-Busch? Does that mean we get to sue Ford or Toyota? Or are we just going to hold the idiot behind the steering wheel responsible for their actions? What is the ABA's theory as to how the gun industry contributes to the delinquency of individuals? Well, it's kind of a bizarre one, but this is how it goes. The theories include, among other things, the allegation that manufacturers knowingly oversupplied the firearms markets in jurisdictions with weak gun laws, knowing that the legal market for firearms in those places could not absorb the volume of firearms sold, and that a portion of those oversupplied firearms were trafficked into other jurisdictions, especially those with stronger gun laws, causing a public nuisance in the affected jurisdiction. That's right. That is their theory, of which none of it is attached to any viable business operational theory. But hey, don't let that get in the way of a good argument, right? Now, for those of you who've geeked out on the PLCAA, you know that it's not a blanket liability shield for gun manufacturers or retailers. Not at all. No. If they engage in certain activities, absolutely positively, they can be sued. The one that is claimed most frequently by people trying to sue manufacturers, retailers, or wholesalers is actually found in subsection 3, which reads, actions based on statutory violations committed by a manufacturer or seller who knowingly violated a state or federal law applicable to the sale or marketing of the product where the violation proximately caused the harm. But what you're seeing is laws that are drafted so that a violation could always, always, always be found, and proximate cause will just either be presumed or not necessary to be proven, thinking, well, there's the workaround to the PLCAA. That then in turn leads the American Bar Association to state, the predicate exception is critically important to implementing that intent because it means that PLCAA did not disrupt an assumption that underlines our federal gun laws. Federal law may set a floor, but states are free to establish legal frameworks for the gun industry. And if that were truly the case, you can only imagine what certain states would pass as far as the parameters for gun industries to operate. Therefore, that industry just evaporates from the state and nobody can access their Second Amendment rights. The ABA goes on to further state, while it is more limited than the gun industry defendants who invoke it would like it to be, PLCAA remains bad policy and should be repealed. It does not insulate those who knowingly break the law, but it does extend a level of legal immunity that is unjustified and detrimental to public safety. But that is complete BS, because I just read to you one of the very clearly delineated exceptions under the PLCAA, and it is if you knowingly violate the law, all bets are off. Every lawsuit is fair game at that point. The ABA also says that in many other industries where we can just sue the pants off of everybody all the time, it has led to technological innovations that make products safer. And they are literally arguing that the inability to effectively sue the firearms industry provides no incentive for them to make their products more safe. Repeal of the statute is therefore warranted to restore accountability, promote responsible industry conduct, and ensure that those harmed by preventable misconduct are not categorically denied a forum for relief. Yes, but that preventable misconduct, the prevention methods, the prevention techniques, actually lies with, shockingly, the individual. You know, the one who is actually responsible for the illegal activity and subsequent injury. But ultimately, America, and this is the ugly truth about what's going on here with the ABA, is this isn't about saving lives. This isn't about community safety. This is about one thing and one thing only, and that's generating more money for plaintiffs' attorneys. That's the bottom line. And if you don't believe me, just take a look at how they refer to it. And I want you to pay attention to what's highlighted and what's not highlighted here. To mitigate these constraints, FIRA statutes may authorize a broad range of remedies, including compensatory, statutory, and punitive damages, injunctive relief, restitution, and recovery of attorneys' fees and litigation costs. And that is the ugly truth about why they passed this resolution. It is about generating more money for the plaintiff's attorneys. Because if you're going to sue the madman who went into a place and shot it up, their pockets are only so deep. And to most plaintiff attorneys, the juice is not going to be worth the squeeze. But if you can get into the deep pockets of the retailers, the wholesalers, or in particular, the manufacturers, well, now there's a real revenue opportunity for those plaintiff's attorneys. One of the biggest reasons that most plaintiff's attorneys have a tendency to lean left is because it has been those on the conservative side of the aisle that has consistently supported and passed tort reform. Does it show in their political affiliation? Well, yeah. For example, some of the most recent data we have, which is from 2023 and 2024, show that organizations such as AAJ, the American Association of Justice, which is comprised primarily of plaintiff's attorneys, 90% of their donations went to the Democrats. And as a matter of fact, the ratio of support is 12-1 in favor of Democratic candidates. Just take a look at the ABA's page of disclosure of where their members' money went and take a look at who the top 10 recipients of that money was. So America, I just want you to understand that you have the largest national organization of licensed attorneys nationwide. That, of course, being the American Bar Association, who has passed the resolution that suggests that Congress should repeal a statute. And at the same time doing that, states should start passing more and more laws so that they can sue every single gun company in America into insolvency. And this is all based on a theory that a company that builds a legal, federally regulated product and then distributes it according to all prescribed legal methods, and it is then sold by a retailer who goes through a very specific federally regulated background check and sales system and does not let that firearm walk out the door unless the FBI's system has said they may proceed, that somehow or another, they are the problem of America's gun violence problem. And the truth of the matter is when we try to solve violence issues by instead focusing on an inanimate object, well, we're cheating society in general at that point. Okay, America, we'll go ahead and link up the resolution down below so that you won't have to take our word for it. You can just geek out on it for yourself. If you got any other questions about this or anything else related to what's left of our Second Amendment rights, which if the ABA had it their way would be this close to nothing, you guys should know how to get a hold of Washington Gun Law by now. But if you don't, that's okay. Down there in the description box, if you got an idea for a video we should be doing around here, all you do is click on that link right there and tell us all about it. If you want to subscribe to the monthly newsletter, find out about all the cool stuff they won't let us talk about here, meet all of our new sponsors, there's a link in the description box for you to do that. And then finally, and most importantly, let's everyone remember that part of being the lawful and responsible gun owner, like we talk about all the time here, is to know what the law is in every situation and how it applies to you in any instance that you may find yourself. Until next time, thanks for watching and stay safe.